as Christians, we have the Word of God in our heart and in our minds and in our tongues, but we can go into areas without a Bible, without books, without paper, and have a ball and gather a group of children and share through that relationship over sports.
Welcome to Premier Christian Radio's Babel Undone podcast featuring Archbishop Joseph D'Souza. Bishop D'Souza is a renowned Christian intellectual and human rights activist from India who leads the Good Shepherd Movement and the All India Christian Council. And I'm Johnny Moore, an American evangelical who serves as the president of the Congress of Christian Leaders. I come from America. The Archbishop comes from India. So naturally, we meet in London. Bishop D'Souza, today we're talking about what?
How sports help cross-cultural divides and open hearts. If you get the chance to travel to many countries and experience a wide array of cultures, you can't help but be struck by the differences you'll discover. However, you'll also be unable to overlook the similarities. One such similarity is the irreplaceable influence of sport. Whether it be football, cricket, basketball, or handball, nearly every culture has a passion for sport, both for recreation and competition. It is no coincidence that some of the largest gatherings of human beings are for sporting events like the World Cup and the Olympics. And it's clear that sports have a unique capacity to unite people. This insight has led to the rise of sports as a method of ministry and the opportunity to create cross-cultural harmony. We are now going to be talking to an expert in this field for this episode of Babel Undone.
Bishop, is cricket actually a sport?
It is a global sport, minus America, but America is just getting into it.
What you didn't notice here is that, because this is an audio podcast, not a video podcast, is when I said that, Bishop gave me a look like, who are you? Yeah. And I think it was actually hitting me, but bishops can't hit people. So, our guest is an expert at this. So aside from his work on the International Committee on Nigeria, standing up for persecuted Christians in that part of the world, he served in West Africa in various capacities for over 20 years. And in those 20 years, he's provided leadership to a number of transformational organizations in multiple countries. He's addressed the concerns of widows and orphans and income generation among the poorest of the poor, literacy and health, as well as coordinating relief efforts for internally and externally displaced people all around that part of the world. He also served as a consular warden for the U.S. Embassy in Nigeria. He's a sportsman. He's coached volleyball and soccer and basketball teams at various levels of play and led the development of the Sports Friends Ministry in Nigeria, work he's been recognized for widely. And today he's here to talk to us about the role that a language that the entire world speaks can help us build better and stronger bridges, the language of sport. Kyle, it's great to see you. It's wonderful to have you in this conversation on Babel Undone. We like to begin these conversations with the same question. We ask literally every guest a version of the same question as the first question. And you can answer it however you like. So you can, if you're feeling very philosophical, you can wax eloquent. If you just want to get to the point, you know, go for it. I'd say most people sort of hit somewhere in between. But here's the question. Who is Kyle?
Well, I'm still working on it. So, you know, 55 years trying to figure that out. But I'm a lover of God. I'm a husband, a father. I've been a missionary for almost over 30 years. Currently leading the ministry in over 20 nations with Sports Friends.
You said you were a missionary. Where was this? In Nigeria?
In the 90s, after university graduation, I signed up for the Peace Corps and decided I'm going to go to West Africa. So I started learning French. But then my friend came back and said, don't do it. They won't let you be a Christian overseas. You can't proselytize. You can't say you're whatever. So I had to rethink, and then I joined a mission group called WEC out of UK, out of East Coast, and then eventually got married, joined Food for the Hungry, and then joined SIM. And so here I am today, living in West Africa for about 30 years until we came back about 5 years ago.
And your ministry focuses on sports. I mean, and it's amazing to me in all the countries I go to around the world, that countries that are at war with one another, countries that don't like one another, there are all kinds of 1,000 different conflicts. And yet, you know, sports is always there. I mean, in some of the worst moments in world history, where you know enemies were on the verge of catastrophic war, you know, the Olympics still happened, and in countries where people are, you know, at the bottom of the strata economically, maybe illiterate, you know, they still play soccer or football, as they often say, barefoot, you know. And yeah. And so I'm just wondering how you think about, you know, sport as ministry.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up playing sports. My father was a military guy and always wanted to play all the sports, keep us fit, keep us healthy, but also for the social aspect of it. And often he was our coach, which sometimes is good, sometimes isn't good. But I learned a healthy respect of sports. And then when he became a Christian and tried to involve Christian experiences and faith into sports, I started seeing sports in a different way. And as you said, I mean, around the world, people are playing sports. You can go into any village with a ball and throw it on the ground, and children will know what to do with it. Either kick it, or they'll pick it up and play netball or volleyball. But there's something that they can do with the sport, with the ball. Everyone knows sports. So that's an easy, it's a universal language, right? There's a few universal languages, music, love, and of course, sports. So I think being that sort of universal language, you can go in places where you're often not welcome with other devices. Or we've enjoyed having that, the ball over the Bible. Of course, we've, as Christians, we have the Word of God in our heart and in our minds and in our tongues, but we can go into areas without a Bible, without books, without paper, and have a ball and gather a group of children and consistently meet with them and share through that relationship over sports.
And how long have you been doing this sports as a ministry, and how old is Sports Friends?
Well, I mean, I've been doing it my whole life since my father kind of showed me how you can combine sports and faith. But officially, I've been doing it for almost 20 years with Sports Friends. And Sports Friends started in 2002 in Ethiopia, then came to Nigeria, then Ghana, then Thailand, and now we're in 20 different countries. So we're a project of SIM USA, SIM International. It's out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And we've been doing this for 20 years, and it's been a great experience to see it grow and develop lay leaders and coaches that are indigenous to the countries they live in.
And how many people are involved in this ministry, Abe?
We have, I mean, so most of us are missionaries. We're trained from either UK, US, Canada, but then we go out to different countries and we train local staff. Some of them are local missionaries as well from their own country. So we have about 170 to 100 staff, but then we've trained over 14,000 coaches that are working with over 250,000 children.
Yeah, I think what's powerful about this is, like, a lot of the countries that you're in, you're not in, like, you know, these like closed access. Like, you're in places where, like the Christian community is either growing, or you know you have churches in a lot of these countries. Some of them are even, while not everyone may believe, they're like sort of Christian countries. And yet a lot of times we're like very serious about faith. Like we go to the church and we worship and we hear our sermons and we're like, it's all serious all the time. And you sometimes miss the human component, you know, unless your pastor's like funny or something, you know. And I think the power of what you do is, like, it's just like fun, you know. I mean, people like sports because they're fun and it's entertaining. People enjoy it. There's something different about that. It's not like an uptight Christianity.
Yeah. I mean, it eventually involves the whole family, and that's what we see. We're not out there to get superstar athletes, go to the Premier League and play, you know, for millions of dollars. We're there just to engage with children who then have families that they're coming from, and the families enjoy having their children being taught, being given some time to develop, whether their own personal skills, hygiene, literacy at school, whatever that needs to be done. So we incorporate all that with the coaches. But then the families are seeing this engagement, this involvement. And now you have the children that have been directly taught, the primary. But then the secondary knockoff is you have the families as well.
And is a lot of these sports initiative in Africa, or is it in the Middle East, or in Asia? Where are you spread?
So we're in 20 countries: Southeast Asia, West Africa, East Africa, South America. We have a group in Canada and North America. We're in Northern California, believe it or not, working with immigrants up there. And we have a group in the UK that are working. And oftentimes, the people we train will then take that into other places. So, like, for example, West Africa, Nigeria, Niger, Mali, Ghana, and Senegal. But then sometimes those local missionaries will go into places where we're not officially there, like in Chad or Cameroon or places where there are other difficulties going on.
Interesting.
It's so fascinating that a lot of the major sports figures from countries like, say, Brazil are believers. I mean, their faith is a big part of their identity. You know, I have a friend in the U.S., Jonathan Isaac, who's a NBA player, like a star NBA player, and his like faith is who he is. You know, it's a big part of his identity. And you have while you're not maybe most of the people participating in your program are going to go to the Premier League. You know, every once in a while you do have this. I mean, that's the power, again, the power of sports. You could have some kid in some impoverished country somewhere that becomes the best in the world at this, and very, very often those people are people whose faith somehow motivated them, gave them, the perseverance to move on. Biblical principles sort of guided them.
Yeah. I mean, you hear this often after victory of a game. They first and foremost, I want to thank Jesus, my Lord and Savior. But you also wonder, what happens if they lose and they get interviewed? Will they still do that? You know, so that's where we've got to get them young and show them that there's adversity. There's things in life that will come along and the struggles that they may face. We try to give them all sort of aspects of life training and try to make sure that they don't just wear Jesus only when they win, that even in difficult circumstances, they can also praise God.
And you use it as like a teaching tool, like, it's like a lot of life lessons can be drawn from this.
Yeah, I mean, like, for example, in Nigeria, we've often used it in places where there's been conflict. I mean, you've been to Nigeria, Johnny, and it's been that sort of situation where Muslims and Christians just don't, they traditionally, maybe they've gotten along just okay, but then when the conflict started, they drew the lines and then they didn't get along at all. But we can go back in those communities with sports, get the children out, the Muslim and the Christian children, divide them up, equal Christian, equal Muslim on the same team, go through them with just a week of doing different drills and activities and having fun, and they start to have a different perspective on what it is to be a person, to be a citizen of the country, to just be an athlete, but then also in their own faith. And then from there, we can maybe set the platform for more evangelism and more discipleship, but just having the initial engagement with the sport, the ball.
Are you focused on any particular sport, Kyle, or you do various sports?
I mean, football, soccer is the big
one. I got to warn you, though, Kyle, because he thinks cricket is a sport.
Cricket is one thing I'd love to learn. We were in India. We actually did some projects in India, but our leader there had to flee and is no longer there helping to do it. But we use cricket. I mean, it's that's just a ball and a bat, right? So it's our baseball, which I think Indians don't think it's a sport either, but I'll give cricket the go that they can go ahead with using it. As far as rugby, that's a little more difficult. American football, because some people call it the gladiator sport, and I don't know how you can praise God tackling someone. But yeah, I use soccer, football. I've played volleyball, basketball, and then netball in some of the more English colonies.
And which Muslim nations are you in?
So, like, we're in West Africa, so we've got Niger, some places other I won't mention, but then we've got other places in East Africa where we've gotten 50-50 places that we can't share. But and then we've got Southeast Asia where it's predominantly Buddhist or communist countries that we're in as well.
And you founded the organization, or you joined it?
I joined it probably two years into its growth. They had me with, do you love God, do you love children, and do you love sports? And I was like, yep, that's the trifecta for me. So sign me up.
Amazing. Now, a lot of people, like, not just in Africa, but in the United States and, in Europe and Canada and other places, like, if they wanted to, like, do something like this in their own community, in their own church, like, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, I mean that's it. We have the world at our doorstep here in the West, in the U.S. and the U.K. Oftentimes, immigrants are treated or refugees are treated poorly, and that could be your mission field right in your own church, your own backyard. So we say engage with any communities you have. Like there's even down the street, there's an international community where they teach English. They help with taking the citizenship test, helping them just get adjusted after they've been placed here in the U.S. with the different groups, the social groups that they're social network groups that they're with, and then we try to help the children. They're at school struggling. They don't know English. They don't know the American or English culture. So how do you help them? And sometimes sports is a way to do that. Just meeting regularly. That's all we say. Choose once a week that you can meet at a place and just have a ball. You don't have to have top athletes or top equipment, just keeping something consistent, allowing the children to be engaged and engage with them.
With the next World Cup being in the United States, what kind of momentum does it give to your ministry here in the U.S. itself with the ball and young people wanting to figure out how to kick a ball properly?
Yeah. I mean, just having them, the ability, so you can do viewing centers, you can open up your church or a place to watch the World Cup. Obviously, when it was overseas, it's on at odd hours, 2 in the morning or 7 a.m. you're watching football. But different things like that. You can do a viewing center at your place, do a sort of a theme night where you bring in maybe a competition or something friendly, but nothing too high level. But there's different ways to do events and just use that sort of momentum on the World Cup to bring attention and bring the children together.
I'm also a soccer buff. Cricket and soccer are the big. So I wanted to ask you, you have some of your leagues now, Miami and LA. Is soccer catching up in U.S. or is it still a long way to go?
Yeah, every 4 years we think we're caught up and we give all the highlights of all the players that are playing overseas and whatnot. But our domestic league is we got it backwards. I talked to one of the USA leaders one time and they said we have all this pay to play where you go, children pay a club or local academy thousands of dollars for uniforms and for competition, whereas in Europe, your children are getting picked at 12, 13 years old to sign with the club. So we got to figure this out. How do we get the best players to be here and stay here, and also just kind of develop them locally?
Wow,
I was in Saudi Arabia a couple of weeks ago when Al Nassr was playing, which Ronaldo is playing in Saudi, and it was incredible. I mean, the stadium was sold out. Just thousands and thousands and thousands of young Saudis. You know, and also Saudi is changing, and so it's like men and women together watching it. I mean, it was really, really incredible. And there's with all the reforms going on in Saudi Arabia, it's amazing. The thing that accelerated them the most was when they open up sports, you know, and it's just it's been an incredible thing to see. I want to ask one last question. We're almost out of time, and it's a big question, so you know you can take your time with it. But you've spent so much of your life with the church in Africa We often think of it in the context of persecution, but I'd love to just hear you talk for a second about what is inspirational about the Christians you know and have served with and worked with on that great continent.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing stories is one thing. You know, being there and being present with them and seeing the difficulties they're going through, whether it's the economy going south or persecution happening. But then leaving them behind, thinking that what's going to happen to them. But there's no fear sometimes. I think they have so much confidence in their relationship with Christ as Christians that they can go on. They can face these sort of attacks, whether it's financial or religious persecution or violence against them or the family. And we've worked with coaches. We've trained lay coaches, Nigerian coaches, who've been attacked physically. They've been attacked spiritually. They've been attacked so many ways, but they still go on. They know that the hope of Christ is where it lies, where the future is. And if they can continue to be an example of that, then they've inspired me and they've inspired so many others, because you share that story and you share that story.
Yeah, there's a powerful, powerful video that came from a church in Nigeria that went viral on social media. And it was a pastor in his congregation singing in a church that had been burned down, and the only thing that was left were the walls. And yet they went into that burned down church and they still, you know, worshiped the Lord. And I think that's, we have these big gleaming churches in the United States. We've got lots and lots of resources. Man, we have a fraction of the Christianity of some of these incredible, incredible leaders. Kyle, thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, God bless you.
You know, I've seen this all over the world. I've seen really kids in the worst possible situations. Not enough food on the table, walking miles to what school they can get, parents in all kinds of trouble, difficulty, you know, harsh climate. I've seen it all. And yet, I don't think I've ever been to a country where I haven't seen kids, if they didn't have a soccer ball, they rolled up a piece of paper. You know, it's just something that brings universal joy about playing, about sports.
Yeah, and the fact that Christian sportsmen and non-sportsmen see this as a legitimate place of witness and work and training and helping, it is fabulous. And of course, if they do get a spectacular talent who then also knows the Lord, they become global witness. And I mean, a couple of World Cups, we have seen how a few of the Brazilian players unabashedly remove their national jersey and they have another T-shirt inside about Jesus. It's incredible. And you suddenly realize, oh, I didn't know that he was a man of faith.
I mean, one day we'll have a video Babylon Done podcast, and at the end, you and I will do a soccer shooting match, and we'll see if you get more in or if I get more in.
Okay.
I think you'll win, Bishop.
Have you played football?
No, but my wife is from Brazil, so maybe I inherited it somehow.
Okay. It gets transferred that way too. Talent?
You'll know.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us today for Babel Undone. If this conversation had you thinking, then why don't you share it with someone else? For more episodes of Babel Undone or other amazing content that helps Christians live out their faith, you should head over to premier.plus. That's Premier, P-R-E-M-I-E-R, for the Americans listening in, .plus.